Here's something that J.K. Rowling, Mark Twain, Maya Angelou, and Philip Pullman have in common. They've all written some of the books that community members try most often to remove from public libraries and schools. That's according to the American Library Association, which this week marks its annual Banned Books Week. One novel that survived early censorship to become a classic is John Steinbeck's The Grapes of Wrath. NPR's Lynn Neary has the story.
People give a lot of reasons for wanting to ban books, says Judith Krug of the American Library Association. Politics, religion, sex, even witchcraft. But in the end, Krug says, there's really only one thing that would-be censors want to stop.
They're not afraid of the book, they're afraid of the ideas. And the thing that's so interesting is that the materials that are challenged and banned are the books that say something about the human condition. And I can't think of a better example of that than The Grapes of Wrath.
When The Grapes of Wrath was published in 1939, it was banned or burned in a number of cities. But nowhere was opposition to the book so close to the bone as in Kern County, California, where John Steinbeck's fictional Joad family landed after their escape from the Dust Bowl. Rick Wartzman is the author of a new book, Obscene in the Extreme, which is the story of the banning of The Grapes of Wrath in Kern County.
It's a window into the class politics of the 30s, this deep divide between far left and far right.
Steinbeck's novel was firmly rooted in real events. 3 years before the book was published, President Franklin Roosevelt gave this speech after touring 9 states that had been devastated by drought.
No cracked earth, no blistering sun, no burning wind, no grasshoppers are a permanent match for the indomitable American farmers and stockmen and their wives and children who have carried on through desperate days and inspire us with their self-reliance, their tenacity, and their courage.
But even FDR's optimism could not hold back the tide of humanity that poured out of the Dust Bowl states, desperate for work. This young migrant story, recorded for the Library of Congress, was typical of those who made their way west.
Then we come on over in California in 38, and at that time came quite a flood here in California.
Many of the hundreds of thousands of people who came to California looking for work landed in Kern County. Penniless and homeless, they took jobs picking crops when they could. It was their story that John Steinbeck fictionalized in The Grapes of Wrath. The book was an instant bestseller, but Rick Wartzman says some people from Kern County resented the way they were depicted in the novel.
The powers that be thought they were really doing right by these people in a lot of ways. They had a pretty good public health care system, for instance, and they thought that Steinbeck really portrayed them unfairly. One of the members of the Board of Supervisors called The Grapes of Wrath a libel and a lie.
In August 1939, by a vote of 4-1, the Kern County Board of Supervisors approved a resolution banning The Grapes of Wrath from county libraries and schools. Wartzman says one powerful local player who pushed the ban was Bill Camp, head of the local Associated Farmers, a group of big landowners who were avid opponents of organized labor.
And that's what they were really afraid of. They really did not want to be unionized. They didn't want their fields to be organized in any way.
And they did have influence with the county supervisors.
Oh, absolutely. Bill Camp was an extremely influential guy in Kern County. And these were really rough guys. I mean, if you go back and look at the record through the 30s, they had tremendous political influence in Sacramento. They knew how to work a bill, but they also knew how to work with tire irons and pick handles and bricks, and things could get really ugly and violent.
There was no mistaking which side The Grapes of Wrath was on. This scene from the film version of the book vividly illustrates the hostility between the workers and the wealthy farmers who hired them and also controlled the local police.
I asked to see his license. He ain't allowed by law to contract men without a license.
Hey, Joe. Agitator. Ever see this guy before?
Seems like I have. Seems like I seen him hanging around a used car lot that was busted in there. Yep, that's the fella. Get in this car.
Got nothing on him.
Open your trap again and you'll go too.
In Kern County, Bill Camp was convinced that many of the migrants themselves were offended by The Grapes of Wrath. So Camp recruited one of his workers, Clell Pruitt, to burn the book. Pruitt never read the novel, but heard a radio program about it, which made him angry. So he readily agreed to take part in what Wartzman describes as a photo op.
There's a picture of Bill Camp kind of presiding over this book burning as Clell Pruitt drops a copy of The Grapes of Wrath into a pail with the flames shooting out of it. This is not a big, you know, Nazi-style public square, hundreds of books being burned. But the significance is that Clell Pruitt, not one of the big growers, actually burned the book.
While Camp was working to publicize the events in Kern County, the local librarian, Gretchen Neef, was working quietly to get the ban overturned. At the risk of losing her job, Neef stood up to the county supervisors. Her letter asking them to reverse their decision is a remarkable and eloquent argument against all efforts to ban books. Here, Wortsman reads an excerpt.
If that book is banned today, what will be banned tomorrow? And what group will want a book banned the day after that? It's such a vicious and dangerous thing to begin, and may in the end lead to exactly the same thing we see in Europe today. Besides, banning books is so utterly hopeless and futile. Ideas don't die because a book is forbidden reading.
Gretchen Neef's argument didn't work. The supervisors upheld the ban, and it remained in effect for a year and a half. But, says Judith Krug, the censorship of The Grapes of Wrath was a key event in the creation of the Library Bill of Rights.
It says, in effect, that as American citizens, we have the right to access whatever information we wish without anyone looking over our shoulders, that we have the right to utilize this information once we have acquired it.
Most of the people involved in the banning of The Grapes of Wrath are no longer alive, but Rick Wortsman did track down Clell Pruitt, who has since died. Pruitt finally read the book at Wortsman's behest and afterwards told Wortsman he had no regrets about burning it. Lynn Neary, NPR News, Washington.
And you can read an excerpt from Rick Wortsman's book, Obscene in the Extreme, and see the infamous photo of Clell Pruitt setting fire to The Grapes of Wrath on our website, npr.org. It's Morning Edition from NPR News. Renee Montaigne is back with us tomorrow. I'm Steve Inskeep.